Welcome on, everyone. This is Diane Petoskey, and this is the second of a three-call series that I'm doing on cancer and the immune system. If you want to hear the first call again, or if you want to share that with anyone else, it is being archived until September 9th. Now, when you called in today, or maybe you've never done this, I'm not sure, but when you call on the playback number, which is a different number, they will always ask you for a reference number or push the pound sign if you want to listen to the current call. So in case you don't know what the callback number is, meaning listening to it any other time than now, it is 712-432-0211, 712-432-0211. You will use the same access number, which is 755-918, which you use to call in here. And if you want to listen to the first call that's now been archived, it'll be reference number 4. Once this call gets re-recorded over next Thursday, this call will be reference number 5, and the very last of the three will be reference 6. Those three calls will be left up and on archived until the 9th of September, and then they'll be deleted. So anybody that you want to share this with, be welcome to do that. They will not be downloadable. They will not be made into CDs. This is the only way. I continually do conference calls. My normal schedule is to do 2 conference calls a month, the first Thursday and the third Thursday, unless I'm doing something like this, a series, which I like to run consecutive weeks. So you can always come on the calls or listen to my playback number and hear new information, different information all the time, and we want to keep it fresh like that. The more really knowledge you gain, the healthier you're going to be for yourselves and your family. I know last week sort of ended up with a lot of bad news. A lot of the information I gave you may have been a bit overwhelming to you. Some of it may have been sort of depressing and not very encouraging, but I needed to lay that out for you. I needed to talk about how much problem we're having that's causing cancer in our environments, talking about water pollution and air pollution and the trouble with our food supply, talking about the chemicals and things found in personal care products and cleaning products and building materials. And so those are things that you need to have knowledge about. But this week I want to really share with you more about what you can do, what you have available to you, where you can go in terms of directions to help yourself. Now, I want to everyone to know, this is Diane Petoskey, of course, and I've been in practice for 28 years. I have 2 degrees in nutrition, and I'm a naturopathic physician. I've spent most of my career working with people with immune problems. The first half of my career was a lot with people that had cancer and AIDS, and now in the second half of my career, more with people with autoimmune diseases. But I'm constantly learning and growing and from my knowledge from working with individuals. I am here to teach people, to guide people, to help people on the way to wellness. My business is not to distribute products. I don't work for any company. I have no association with Shackley or any other company. My business is really to, more than anything, be a coach to help people to get better, to teach and continue to help people grow in their knowledge. But it's really important for you to use nutritional supplements, and I'm going to be talking about those later in this hour. And so I just want you to understand that where I'm coming from is to teach you what to do, not to sell you products. And so I have no gain from any of this. Now, when we talk about things that we can do, the first thing that comes to mind, we have to think about our food. And everybody eats every day, in fact, many times a day, and we have to be concerned about the quality of our food. Everybody knows that there is such a thing as organically grown food, and that means that food that is grown without pesticides, and most of the time, if it's animal products, without any hormones or drugs added to them. You have to read your labels. You have to investigate companies if you're unsure of them. People assume certain things, like the word kosher, like a kosher chicken, assumes that it would be healthier. Not necessarily. It has to do with a whole different thing about the chicken, more of the way it's slaughtered. If somebody says to you that it's a free-range chicken, does that mean that it doesn't have any pesticides? No. You have to really know what you're looking for. So when we are looking for healthy foods, we have to be really aware that the word organic means very specific things. Now, there are certifications of organically grown materials and foods. From different states, they have different sort of certifications. So we want to read our labels really well. Some of the things that we have to worry about with produce, meaning fruits and vegetables and grains, is what is sprayed on those plants. Potatoes, and when they're grown in the soil is treated with pesticides. We want to be really aware that as our food grows, that it is absorbing those pesticides, and they become an integral part of the food, and when we consume them, of course, that goes into our system. When I started in my educational process, and that was, seems like 100 years ago, we were taught that we were using about 20,000 different foods in the 20,000 different chemicals in the growing and the storing and the production of food. And now it's over 100,000, closer to 120,000. And we're talking in a period of about 35 years. This is something that puts a great deal of stress on our immune system. So if we can buy food that is cleanly grown, that doesn't have additives to it, animal products that don't have the growth hormones, they aren't laced with antibiotics. These are all things that are going to make it easier for our immune systems to function. Also, try to find food that has not been genetically engineered. Now, it's very hard to know that anymore because the government stopped the labeling about 2 years ago, meaning that a manufacturer can sell genetically engineered food and it doesn't have to be labeled that way. There is so much that we do not know about how that affects our bodies, our cells, and so it's very important not to eat those foods until really so much research has been found. We need to be really careful about foods that are synthetically put together, like artificial sweeteners, margarines, which are the man-made sort of foods. Margarine is one of the most carcinogenic foods that has been put out in the public for the last 50 years. Margarine is hydrogenated. It changes forms when they harden the liquid. It doesn't act any different than a saturated fat like butter. But the most important thing about margarine is when they take it from a liquid form and make it into a solid form, they heat it up, and those sort of oils become rancid, and they become carcinogenic. So you really need to know that margarines are not safe. Now, they have new forms of margarine in the last few years, like Earth Balance and Soy Garden, the ones that are completely non-hydrogenated, and those are a safer alternative. So those are things that you can use. We need to stay away from these hydrogenated fats, which you'll find in a lot of snack foods. So reading labels becomes an important thing to do. So look for pesticides listed on labels. Look for coloring and artificial flavors. These are all chemicals, friends, and these are things that our immune system has to deal with. And the less we put in for our immune system to deal with, the better off it'll function. So food dyes and things. The other thing, don't cook your food in Teflon. I made a mention of that last week, some of the studies. Don't use aluminum. Go back to the old sort of pots and pans that we used to use that are going to be like Revere ware or these things. They may be a little harder to clean, but we're really looking for the real stainless steel, the real steel types of pots and pans. Teflon, that coating, we know has got some very serious carcinogens. Now, you may sit there and go, well, why could all this be used? How come this isn't being stopped? It all gets down to economics. And there are certain things that are grandfathered in, and they sort of fit under this umbrella. Well, they've been used long enough, and so they sort of get grandfathered in. The things that we do know about foods is that we have to be really careful in terms of our choices, not only if they're clean choices, but also your body needs tools to work. You have to have amino acids from protein for your body to function. You can't build what your body needs every day, enzymes and hormones, all the things that you need without the proper level of protein to produce the amino acids. You have to have essential fatty acids coming from good fats. So many people, when they got so concerned about cholesterol and heart disease, started cutting out all fats. And we need good fat in our bodies. Our brains can't function. Our neurological systems can't function. But there's a lot of different problems that people have. Children especially need fats for their brains to develop and work. Our bodies will show us if we're not getting enough fats. Or Our hair will be very poor quality. Our skin will look very dry and not very healthy. But the things that are going on internally that you don't know about are much more dangerous. So we need fats. And I'll mention a little bit more about this in a moment. And then we also need good quality carbohydrates. Now let's start about carbohydrates. When you eat any carbohydrate, it produces glucose. And this is the energy your body runs on, and we need that energy. But what we need it in is delivered in a method where we don't give our bodies too much to handle at one time. When you eat a carbohydrate food and it produces glucose, you have to produce insulin to digest it and utilize it and put it into the cells. So if you were to eat Danishes for breakfast or box cereals that are full of sugar, or you're going to have any sort of really highly refined white flour or white sugar product, that material breaks down very quickly because it's a short, very short chain of carbohydrate. The carbohydrate chains, the longer they are, the better they are. So when this short chain of white flour, white sugar goes into your body, it breaks down very quickly and basically all at one time. You end up with a huge pool of glucose. Your body has to produce a lot of insulin from your pancreas to handle that. It picks up as much as it can, takes it to the cells. You get energy, but the problem is because there's no reserve, meaning that it breaks down all at one time, you can lose your energy very quickly eating refined carbs. So then what happens? You're hungry. You feel low. You need a lift. You go back and you eat again, probably too often. If you ate a complex carb, like let's say oatmeal for breakfast, or really highly grainy type breads where you're getting a very complex carb, that carbohydrate will burn slowly over a period of many hours, delivering a small amount of glucose, not making your pancreas work too hard, only having to produce a very small amount of insulin, goes up into your cells, and the beauty is that product keeps burning and keeps giving you energy for hours and hours and hours. So one thing for sure is that your energy stays more even. The other thing is your brain chemistry works better. And the other thing is you don't put on weight. When you eat a lot of refined carbs, the reason you put on weight is because what your body can't pick up at that time, it just doesn't let it sit around. It'll store it, and it stores it in your tummy and your hips and your behind. It goes in your adipose tissues, your fat tissues. So to avoid that, you want to not eat a lot of carbs at one time and also make sure the carbs you eat are very, very complex. Brown rice as opposed to white rice, the whole grain breads. And, you know, the industry that manufactures food is very, they understand that you're looking for that. So they're using that word whole grains. But you have to remember, just because they put whole grains in there, if they have broken them down quite a bit, that fiber is no longer there. So when you look at a cereal, when you look at a pasta or anything that you're eating that is made from grains, look for the fiber content. Make sure you've got a higher fiber content, and that means it's a more complex carb. Beans and legumes and lentils, things like that, very high in carbohydrates. So these are, very high in complex carbohydrates. So these are the things. The important thing with carbohydrates is that you have to have a balance between them and protein in your diet. If you don't, it's stressful on your body. Anything that stresses out your body affects your immune system. We need high-quality protein every day, and there's nothing wrong with eating animal products or eggs for proteins. The saturated fats are tolerable, but certainly it's about buying really clean, healthy eggs and meats and fish and things like that. So do your best to find the hormone-free, chemical-free types of meats. Eating good quality proteins can also be accomplished by using protein powders, especially soybean protein powder, very high quality. Soy products that are made as a protein source, like soy patties, tempeh, those sorts of things, tofu-derived materials. These things can also act as another quality protein. One of the things that I really understand very, very well because of my background, I was a vegan for 23 years, which means I didn't eat any meat, any animal products, no dairy, no fish, no eggs, nothing. And I did that because my father died at 48 from heart disease, and I was very concerned because it really ran in that side of the family. So I thought, oh, no problems. Don't eat saturated fat. You're not going to have any problem. Well, interesting, as the years went on and I ate that way, my cholesterol went up and up and up. Now, I didn't eat refined sugars. I really had a great, clean diet. And my personal physician could not really give me any reason except that, well, you know, it's your lineage. It's your background, so this is, you're always going to have this problem. And as more information came out about proteins and carbohydrates, the ratio that you really need, I began to really understand, and information about blood types, talking that certain blood types can't tolerate a diet too high in carbohydrates and need more protein. And finally, I was convinced enough myself that I needed to try going back on more protein and a lot less carbs. So I reduced my carbohydrates drastically, and I started eating eggs as my source of protein. I couldn't jump to animal products directly. And it was remarkable how fast my cholesterol went down. I reduced the carbs way down, got the balance much better with protein, and I was really feeling better, and my cholesterol really responded. Protein is something that we need every day and every meal. So it isn't just having it once a day. You need it three times a day. So breakfast, we can have a shake if we don't want to eat eggs or meats or things like that. But you need to consider the balance between proteins and carbohydrates. And I've got other lectures on that, and I don't want to dwell on that too much more. Lastly, about fats, we need good quality fats. Things that come from olives, like olive oil and olives. Seeds and nut butters contain great fat, so almond butter and cashew butter and those sorts of things. Peanuts are not the best. Peanuts are in the top 10 most carcinogenic foods unless they're organically grown. And when I do allergy testing, and I do it all the time for people, it's one of the most common allergens, so I really don't suggest people eating a lot of peanuts. Go for the other nuts and seeds and do those instead. Avocados are great sources of fat. So eating olives and olive oil and safflower oil and sunflower oil, any of the good seeds and nuts would be great to have. Avocados, hummus, these are all really great things to get good fats in your diet. French fries, not a good fat. Okay, the kinds of fats that are fried, potato chips, most of the snack foods that have fried oils in it, those are not the kind we want. You know, deep fried chicken, deep fried shrimp, those are the sort of things that are not the fats that we want. Those are the fats that are very dangerous, not only to your heart, but if they're fried in vegetable oil, they're carcinogenic. So we really want to stay away from that. So make some good choices with foods. Food is another very important aspect of food, and that is the acid-alkaline balance of food. One of the things that you need to realize that when you eat food, it breaks down to produce an end product that is either acidic in nature or alkaline in nature, or it can be in the middle, we consider neutral. Now, you've all heard of the pH scale, especially when you think about shampoos and soaps and things, but pH is very critical when we talk about the human body. Our bodies, when you go in and you measure our blood, our body has a pH that's a very specific level. Our pH of our blood is slightly on the alkaline side, about 7.2 to 7.4, and it stays in that range at all costs. You cannot live very long if your pH gets highly acidic or too alkaline. So it is dangerous. And so the body has mechanisms to make sure and safeguard that the blood stays at the correct level. So what creates acidity in the body or alkalinity comes from our food. So what you need to know first and foremost is what foods are acidic. First thing that comes to your mind might be, oh, citrus fruits or tomatoes. Not really. The foods that are acidic are all animal products. That means meats and fishes and poultry and eggs. Anything that comes from an animal. Some of the other very acidic food is anything that is sweet. That includes fruit. Of course, refined sugars are things very, very acidic. Alcohol-containing foods or drinks, anything that contains caffeine, anything that's fried. So, you know, meat, dairy products, sweet foods, alcohol, caffeine, kind of sounds like the American diet. Now, that's why most people, when I measure their pH, are very, very acidic. Now, when you measure your blood pH, if you go to the doctor and say, measure my pH, it's going to be in normal ranges. But what we're looking for is where the tissue pH is. And I can't belabor this too long, but I worked in a clinic where we were able to measure a blood at what's called the venous blood return, and we were able to test where the pH was at the return site so we know where the tissue level pH was. And most people's pH is very, very acidic. So the acidic side is between 1 and 7. The alkaline side is 7 to 14. So when you're in the middle around 7.2 or 4, that's really perfect. And so what we need to know is that when a body is highly acidic, one of the things that happens is that it creates an environment in which cancer cells, which everyone has in their body, thrive. Also, viruses thrive, so it's a big risk for people that have very chronic viral problems like HIV or Epstein-Barr or some of the really chronic viruses. So what I'm saying to you is that the way you eat every day can affect an environment that can either support cancer cells or not support cancer cells. It's dangerous to be overly acidic. And so we need to start looking at what foods are neutral and what foods are alkaline. So neutral foods are grains, things we make out of grains, like breads and pastas and cereals. Also, nuts and seeds, anything made from soy. These are all neutral foods. And the only alkaline food is really vegetables. So all those years your mother told you to eat vegetables, there was a really important reason for that. She may not have understood, but it's for the balance of your cells. So when you think of your diet, think of good quality protein, a good source of complex carbs, include some quality fats, and be sure that you're not overloading on proteins or overloading on fruits and things that are too acidic. Make sure that you include a very large amount of vegetables every day in your diet and good grains, which are neutral, so that you can keep your body out of that highly acidic range. I talked about water and it being a source of pollutants, and so we need to drink purified water. Now, there's a lot of ways to purify water. Distillation is one way. Reverse osmosis is another way. These are both very good types of purified water. You need to really realize, though, that buying bottled water is, one, expensive. It's terrible for the environment, and we have problems with that leaking from the plastic. So it's better to get what we call point of use or something at your home where you can clean up your own water supply. So you should think about getting some sort of system, either a distiller or reverse osmosis. I know that Shackley has come out recently with a new pure water pitcher. It is not ideal, but it is much better than the other one they had, and it is much better than the other types of systems on the market. I would really prefer that you go even further and do a better job at purifying the water, but it certainly is a really good start. And it's great, especially if you're away from home, it's a really good way to purify your water. But it's a new clean water pitcher that they have out. They've just released it. I looked at what it can take out. It takes out much more than Brita or any of the other types of materials out there, more than like the pure product that goes on the end of the faucet. Those are things that are so limited in their ability to cleanse. Remember I talked about water when it's chlorinated in the shower. It's 50 times more absorbable than chlorine, and that is a carcinogen. So do use shower filters. They're very inexpensive. They last for many months. If you have a huge family, you'll go through them faster, but they're not very expensive. They're simple to install. You just screw them on, and then when the water pressure starts to reduce, then you know it's filled up. You throw it away and put on a new one. For personal care products, stay away from the fragrances. Stay away from things that we know contain phenols and formaldehydes. And we know that if it has a fragrance, so perfumes or anything that has a fragrance, stay away from it. Watch your makeups for titanium. Get away from mineral oil, antimony. These are all things. Watch aerosol sprays. These are things that you can do to reduce your load of carcinogens and toxic chemicals into your body. Cleaning products, again, the huge thing to concern about is formaldehyde. Shackley makes some great products that don't contain formaldehyde or phenols. Remember, we're looking for fragrance-free products, green products. We're looking for things that are not going to add to our toxic load to our systems. That will stress out the immune system. If you're doing any building, if you're doing remodeling, be aware of all the problems and the hazards in building. There is so much written on the internet about clean, green building materials that won't off-gas into your home. Read about that. There's all kinds of low or no VOC paints, carpetings, all things like that that have been made so that you're not ingesting or absorbing that through your skin and creating problems for your immune system. Now, I want to talk about something that you've probably heard the term before, free radicals, and the term of antioxidants. And I want to explain to you a little bit because it's very important about what a free radical is, because nutrients are some of the key things to prevent that. So a free radical is, we really didn't know a lot about free radicals like 50 years ago, but now we're learning much, much more about it. And today they're really considered to be a major component in both the aging process and the disease progression. A lot of research has been done in looking at how free radicals cause damage that not only are cancer-causing, but also very much contribute to rheumatoid arthritis. And so that's a concern for some folks. Free radicals are naturally manufactured. They're a byproduct of everyday sort of reactions that happen in your body that produce energy for your body. When you produce energy, there is a reaction between substances in your body and oxygen. So when you have molecules in your body, and that all sorts of molecules, and that includes oxygen molecules, and that includes these fatty acids I talked about, and the amino acids I talked about, and DNA, these are the basic components that you need to build and repair your body. And these molecules, okay, so trying to picture these, you're talking about separate entities, they're held together by materials that they call electrons. Now, a molecule that is stable is going to have electrons that are always paired going around them. When a molecule does not have a pair, then it becomes what we call an unstable or a reactive type of molecule. A free radical is what this is. It's an unstable molecule. It's very reactive. It's like nervous. It's running around and it's searching to make a pair out of its electrons. And it does that by going around and stealing from other cells. So it goes around and steals from other molecules, and it creates a cascading effect where you have all sorts of molecules losing electrons. And so you have these huge thousands and thousands and thousands of free radicals being released, and it's causing mayhem, destruction, and all kinds of damage. And this damage doesn't stop until the body has enough of certain materials like antioxidants or things that will stop it. You can kind of think of it, and this analogy has been used a lot, is like rust. When you see rust starting on metal, like your car, you know it's this teeny spot, and pretty soon you have this big, big hole in your car. And that's what free radicals do. They just kind of keep going and going and going and going and creating damage everywhere that they go. But the good news is that we have nutrients like vitamin E and C and selenium and vitamin A, what we call antioxidants, that stop this negative reaction that is happening. And so when your body's exposed to too much sunlight or smoking tobacco or drugs, especially prescription drugs, all these environmental pollutants I talked about, radiation, these all start that free radical process. And so the immune system, you know, has to get some help, and it needs that help from the antioxidants. Our body actually uses free radicals to kill off, I mean, it's a normal process in control to kind of destroy bacteria and viruses. So the ability to produce free radicals is there, and it's a tool that our immune system can use. But if this free radical process gets out of control, then it is what causes tremendous damage to our bodies. And this is where nutrition really has helped so much with people. So I want to talk about nutrients that are very specific at helping the immune system, and they're going to be very helpful as an antioxidant, many of them. First one is vitamin A. Now, I'm not talking about beta-carotene yet, but vitamin A. And vitamin A is something that comes normally from a fish source. Now, vitamin A has the potential of being toxic, so you have to be very careful. You don't want to exceed ever 50,000 units unless you're under supervision. Now, that's a lot of vitamin A. Most multivitamins like Vital-E contain some vitamin A and also some beta-carotene. Beta-carotene is a water-soluble form of A that cannot be toxic. We call it a precursor A. It breaks down to vitamin A in the body as it's needed. So you don't have to ever be afraid of taking beta-carotene. You can take 100,000 units of that a day, and it would never hurt you. So vitamin A itself, you have to be a little more careful with. Beta-carotene, you can take a lot as a source of vitamin A, but you don't have to be as cautious with the levels. But these products boost the immune system. They generally will increase your ability to fight off colds and flus. They speed up the wound healing process. One of the things that beta-carotene and vitamin A do, they normalize this fast cell division that cancer cells go through. And remember, I was talking about when a cancer cell starts, it starts to divide and proliferate and grow, and it grows very fast and abnormally. So vitamin A and beta are the two things that really help that abnormal cell division. And also, I think I told you about how mucus membranes and the mucus of our nose and our GI tract protect us. And vitamin A improves the integrity of the mucus membrane, so it helps to push these invaders out. It causes, if you're low in vitamin A, it will cause your thymus gland to shrink. And when it shrinks, then you don't produce these very important T cells. So we need to have it. It is a powerful antioxidant and very important. Now, B vitamins are important because they provide many tools. There are a lot of metabolic pathways that use the B vitamins. All of them are important. B6 is a very critically important one for specifically the immune system. If we don't have enough B vitamins in our body, our thymus glands will also shrink and we don't have enough T cells. Without enough B vitamins, and especially the B6, we don't produce enough of our B cells, which are really important. These get into our killer cells. Now, never take your B vitamins separate, meaning I talk to people, I do analysis of people to say, I'm taking B6 and B12. You don't do that. You take a complex. And when you take the complex, you'll do very well with that. Your body will use each part of the B complex exactly where it needs to be. Now, in my practice, I have used Shaklee products for my entire practice, and I've used them personally for well over 30 years. I like their basic products very, very much. I think they deliver a great balance of a natural product in a form in which the body can use it and recognize it. And so with the B complex, they're not highly potentized, so you can't just take one a day. Depending on your stress level in your life, you might want to take maybe one with every meal. If you really have a very hectic life, two with every meal. It just depends on your lifestyle. But B vitamins provide great tools for energy, and generally they are very, very important for the body overall. Now, vitamin C is one that most people know about, and it's also a super antioxidant. There have literally been thousands of research studies that have been conducted on vitamin C. It is an antiviral, meaning it kills viruses, it kills bacteria, and it's anti-cancer. It detoxifies our body. All those chemicals you absorb from different sources, it's a great nutrient to help detoxify. If you ingest something that is slightly tainted, taking vitamin C can pretty much neutralize it. It's phenomenal how you can use it that way. The National Institute of Health, which is a government agency, said that only 9% of Americans have the optimal level of vitamin C in their bodies. 9%. That's very, very low. So what I'm telling you is that C is a tremendous antioxidant. It protects you from these free radicals, which start this whole cancer process. It detoxes you. It keeps you healthy from other infections. So you need to take it every day. So as adults, you really need at least 2,000 milligrams of that a day. Some of you may need a lot more than that. B's and C's really help your stress. They're together especially helpful for the adrenals. So we need to have plenty of that. Vitamin E, another great, powerful antioxidant. I think vitamin E is my favorite vitamin overall in terms of what it can do. It is a great immune protector. It helps increase our resistance to infection, but it's also fantastic for your heart. It's fantastic for diabetics. It is a great hormone balancer for both men and women, menopause, PMS. It's also fantastic for infertility problems. It helps directly increase T-cell production and interleukin, and also it is with vitamin C, vitamin E, and selenium. That combination is probably the most dynamic trio of nutrients in your body to protect you against cancer. So these are very, very important things to have. Low levels of vitamin E especially are attributed to more GI cancers and lung cancers, so remember that. Many studies have shown that it is very helpful in preventing breast and prostate cancer. It inhibits the cells from multiplying, as I mentioned before, with vitamin A. There was a great British study that was done with 5,000 women, and it showed that low levels of vitamin E caused increased, the study was with 5,000 people, and it showed low levels of E increased breast cancer risk by 500%. That is huge. So every woman absolutely should be taking it, and men, of course. Everybody should take about 800 units. Now, some women that have hormone problems or men, some people that have heart disease might consider more than that. But certainly 800 is a good level for most of us to consider. Now, remember I told you about the dynamic trio. Selenium is the one that fits in that, and that is actually a mineral. Without adequate levels of selenium in our body, we are very susceptible to cancer, to viruses, and definitely this free radical damage. areas in the world that we look at, because we look at patterns around the world, and where people live in areas of the world that have lower selenium levels, it correspondingly have higher cancer rates. Also, more of these big viruses like HIV and some of the Epstein-Barr type viruses. Selenium is essential for the protection of our body. It is a powerful material. It's something that is part of manufacturing other things in our bodies. If you don't have selenium, you don't produce something called glutathione peroxidase. And this is an enzyme. And this enzyme is what helps us to detoxify all these environmental toxins. Now, I'm going to talk about glutathione as a supplement later. But know that glutathione is manufactured in your body by your cells if you have enough selenium. And we need that because it's a powerful detoxifier. I use it all the time when I'm working with people that have cancer, and especially if they're taking treatments like chemo. And I'll talk about that next week more. Decrease in selenium means a decrease in T cell activity and decrease in the NK, these natural killer cells. So these are all great reasons to be taking it. We know that selenium is something that can be toxic. You don't want to just take buckets of it. So 100 micrograms to 200 micrograms is about the range you want to stay in. So 100 to 200. Now, Shackley puts together vitamin E and selenium in their product. And that is a great way to take it because, remember, it's part of that dynamic trio. So selenium and vitamin E in the Shackley product is a really good way to take it. So when you're taking your E, you'll notice the amount of selenium that's in that, and you'll be able to up your vitamin E and your selenium together by taking that product. Some other minerals that are really helpful, zinc. When I do my testing and I look at, when I do my electromagnetic test, I look at the levels of nutrients in a person's body, and I look at how much they have, what levels of vitamin C do they have, what's going on in their systems. And the mineral that is most efficient, and everybody across the board, is zinc. Zinc is so, because it's used in the production of 300 different enzyme systems, almost every metabolic pathway in your body needs zinc. So that means how your body runs, what makes it work every day on every level basically has to use a bit of zinc. So it is used up all the time, and that's why people are so deficient. We have to have it because it's so important as a thymus booster. And remember, that thymus gland is like, it's sort of like the director of the immune system, and without that working, we're going to be in trouble. So zinc is critical for the immune system. It's the most important mineral for the thymus gland that we have. Supplementing with zinc will increase, and they've measured this in studies, the ability of your macrophages to digest invaders. Remember, those are the Pac-Men, the really big guys, the big defense guys. So when you're sick, you always want to take more zinc because it increases the macrophages and it chews it all up. So we really want to make sure daily that we're taking zinc every day. The level you want to take as adults, 30 to 60 is a good range. 75, maybe if you have a really weakened immune system, you do not want to ever exceed more than 100 milligrams a day. This is another mineral that you can take too much of. But because your body's using it up a lot, you need to make sure you're supplementing every day. 30 to 75 is a good level. The other mineral, magnesium. Now, this is not something that most people think of as important as a cancer preventer. Most people think of it in association with heart disease and heart attacks and kidney stones. But it definitely has been associated with the immune system. It works differently than a lot of these other materials. It's one of the things that really helps the free radicals not to start breaking down and not to start this sort of cascading effect. We know that magnesium has been very, very helpful for people that have a lot of stress, because as you have a lot of stress, you tend to excrete magnesium. Also, if you drink coffee, you excrete magnesium. So people that are stressful and drink coffee, it kind of goes together sometimes, they definitely have to require a decent amount of supplementation of magnesium. And it's great to take it with your calcium because you need the calcium for your bones. So depending on your age and sex, at least 350 milligrams of magnesium a day. Now, you get some in your Multi, the Vital E. You'll get some in your calcium magnesium like your Osteomatrix product. You don't necessarily have to take an extra magnesium. Shackley does make one, But be careful with too much magnesium. It may overstimulate the bowel. Okay, so if you started taking a handful of magnesium every day, you may not be out of the bathroom very much. So take it in the correct ratio, like I said, about 350 to 500 milligrams total in everything you're taking a day will be adequate. One of the powerhouses, really the powerhouse products in the immune system, and probably one, if I was going to be stranded on a desert island, is, other than vitamin E, it's probably the one that I would grab, and it's CoQ10. And CoQ10 is actually an enzyme, and it's important for the energy production of the entire body. It is 100% critical for a healthy heart muscle. You can't have a healthy heart muscle without it. So people that have heart failures, this is a miracle material for them to take. The heart muscle, more than any other kind of tissue in the body, responds to CoQ10. But every cell responds to it, and every cell needs it. Our bodies manufacture CoQ10. As we get older, we tend to manufacture less. If we're not healthy, if we don't take care of our bodies, we tend to manufacture less. When I do my analysis, again, this electromagnetic testing that I do, and I look at people and I look at their CoQ10 levels, I'm amazed at young people in their 20s and 30s that have low CoQ10 levels. You know, we expect to see that once you're at 50 or so, but we don't expect to see that young. And that's because people just aren't healthy, don't eat right, they don't supplement correctly, they have way, 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 way too much stress. So CoQ10, powerful antioxidant, powerful for the heart muscle. It increases antibodies that we need. It increases the macrophages. It's antiviral, it's antibacterial, it has an anti-tumor effect. It pumps up the immune system, just think of it that way. There was a study with breast cancer patients, and they were using 300 milligrams of CoQ10, and they found that it inhibited tumor growth in breast cancer, and also some patients experienced a complete regression. So it's a fantastic protector. I would say most of you should really shoot for about 100 milligrams, unless you're up to the age of 70, 100 milligrams will be good. Once you reach the age of 70, you want to take 200. Once you reach your 80s, you want to stay in about 300. The older you get, the more you need. But it does a fantastic job at keeping you alive because it helps the heart muscle. So most of you that are between the ages, let's say you're 30, then I would say maybe 30 milligrams would be okay for you. If you're 40, probably 60 milligrams. But absolutely by the time you get to 50, you've got to be on 100. And then again, 100 is usually good between 50s and 60s. Certainly, but when you get older, you want to take even more than that. Certainly is not going to hurt you. Absolutely not at all. Shaklee makes a product called, and they call it CoQ Heart, and it's their CoQ10, and it is a very high-quality product. Be very, very careful. Buying nutrients is very dangerous if you don't know the manufacturer. Those of you who take Shaklee products probably appreciate this more. But for people that have never taken supplements and you think, I'm going to go to Costco's and I'm going to get a good, cheap price, you get what you pay for. You don't ever want to buy vitamins at Costco's or at the drugstores. You want to buy high-quality manufactured products from people that know how to manufacture a nutrient and keep it well. If you buy CoQ10s, most CoQ10s are completely useless unless they are manufactured, the raw material is manufactured a specific way. That raw material is bought by the good quality companies from two or three sources around the world. So these products are always going to be in a certain price range. If somebody's selling CoQ10 really cheap, it's not going to be a product that's going to be absorbed because it's not made from the proper core source. So we really need to understand that nutrients vary greatly in their quality, and that when you talk about supplementing, you don't want to waste your money. And more than anything, you don't want to give yourself a false sense of security. Oh, I'm really taking care of myself. Well, guess what? You're really not taking care of yourself unless you're supplementing with a proper level of nutrients that are absorbed by the body. If you take something your body can't recognize and absorb it, it's like not taking it. So if you take one of these cheap CoQ10s on the market, forget it. It's like not taking it at all. I've seen this with other kinds of nutrients. So be really wise and use products that we know. Now, I test thousands of products every year, and I look at the quality of them. And again, I don't sell Shackley products. My whole intention is to get people to get the results that I know they can if they take a nutrient that can be absorbed. So I know the Shackley products will work for you. I think it's a great idea for you to use them. I'm going to mention a few products in the next few minutes that are they don't manufacture, and I'll give you some hints about what to do about that. But it's very critical not to use something that you can't absorb. I want to go back to, I didn't say this in the vitamin section, and I apologize for that, but vitamin D. And vitamin D is a nutrient that when I first started in my field of nutrition, my 2 degrees in nutrition, they always talked about being careful about vitamin D. It's a fat-soluble vitamin. You can only take so much. So they really regulated like they do vitamin A. Well, now in the last few years, we know that that's really not true. And in fact, very high levels of vitamin D can be really helpful for the immune system. So now the idea is to use thousands of units of vitamin E and not hundreds. So you really want to be sure that you understand that vitamin D is an immune booster. I would suggest that you take at least a couple thousand milligrams or units of that every day. They use that term back and forth with different products. And so vitamin D is one of the things you do not anymore have to be careful about. It will not cause toxicity. And, in fact, high levels can be greatly beneficial. I know Shackley just started manufacturing a D, so that will be helpful for you that use their products. At least 2,000 milligrams, though, a day is really good. I personally use 5,000 because I know how helpful that it is. Now, I want to talk about glutathione. Now, remember I mentioned a few moments ago about this glutathione peroxidase that we make in our bodies, and this is a great protector. Well, you can use glutathione as a supplement, and what it is actually a combination of 3 different amino acids. So your body picks up the amino acids from the pool of amino acids that you have from the proteins you eat, and it makes the glutathione inside your own body. It's actually an enzyme. But we have available to us supplementation of glutathione, and it is greatly valuable as this detoxifying agent. Not only does it help your whole body, but it's specifically great for your liver. And when people are taking chemo, it is one of the things that literally will keep their liver working. It's a fantastic nutrient. Next week I'll go through a protocol for people that are using chemo. But regeneration of immune cells is what glutathione does, as well as a great detoxifying agent. Remember, the toxins you're absorbing are creating free radicals, which are creating the cancer cells. So keeping the toxin levels out of your system, making your body excrete them, is going to be greatly important. Now, if we want to increase our normal levels of glutathione, remember, you have to have proper levels of selenium and proper levels of vitamin C and vitamin E, and also you need magnesium. So make sure that you're taking supplementation so you can manufacture your own glutathione. If glutathione is not in high enough levels in your body, then this free radical damage just completely goes unchecked. We also know that glutathione is great for people that have environmental allergies and really acute chemical sensitivities. I've used it a lot with people. And overall, just highlighting it, glutathione will improve your T cell function. It will eliminate carcinogens, cancer-causing agents. It also does things like help control insulin production. It halts inflammatory responses, and that's why it helps so much with environmental allergies or allergies. It's really fantastic for people that have asthma, too. It reduces overall all allergic reactions. It revs up your immune system. It also will help people that drink a lot of alcohol. It detoxifies alcohol. So it's your really great protector against cancer. So, what do you think of that? That's some pretty good news that I've given you. That kind of makes up for last week, I hope, okay? So these are all fabulous tools that you can use. They're available to you. Now, some combination products that I want to talk about, you should think about perhaps introducing. Shackley makes a product called Nutriferon, and it's its purpose is to increase your white blood cells and the cells for your immune system. So Nutriferon is a combination product. It's not one nutrient, but it's a combination product, and I've used it ever since it's come out. It's one of my very favorite products that Shaklee manufactures. That and I think Stress Relief and Core Energy, as far as their specialized products, are my very favorites. Now, their Vitalea is the very best multi in the world. But these specialized products can really enhance the immune system. I have worked with many, many children who have very low immune function. They get sick all the time, all the time, all the time. We can't keep them off of antibiotics. And if you put them on a long enough regime of a lot of Nutriferon, you cannot imagine what can happen with these children's immune system. And I've seen it over and over again. Now, when you look at the bottle, it'll say take two a day. I don't recommend that. For an adult, when you use Nutriferon, you want to take six a day, and you want to do it for 12 weeks. It's better to use a lot and really give your immune system a big boost. Then go off of it. You might cycle on 12 weeks on, 12 weeks off, 12 weeks on, and that can really do much more than taking two every single day. To me, it works much better that way. I've seen it work much better with children as well as in adults. Stress Relief. Remember I talked about in the last call about how important it is. Stress is what is so important in terms of how it affects our immune system. It decreases our cells, that especially our NK cells, our natural killer cells. So Shaklee puts out a product called Stress Relief, and it's an interesting combination. It is something that will absolutely reduce the cortisol that is surging from the adrenals, which that is the part of the body that changes the chemistry of the system. So if you can reduce the cortisol, then you can reduce the damage that the stress does. Taking Stress Relief throughout the day for some people is necessary. They feel better. They function better. You might be one of the people that just need it occasionally when you're having a really stressful day. A lot of people that have trouble sleeping, they can't turn their brains off, they just can't bring themselves down, will use a couple before they go to bed. But chronic stress, which is very damaging to our health, not just our immune system, but to our heart, it's toxic to our major organs. This is something that is very serious. We talked about exercise being so helpful, but Stress Relief can be a great tool. Don't be afraid of it. If you have to take one, three times a day or four times a day, no problem. It will really save your life in the long run if you're dealing with a very long-term chronic stressful situation. Also remember, the very first line of defense in our physical bodies is our gut, and we want to make sure we have a good amount of good flora. I talked about this, the good protective bacteria, and you can get that in a capsule form. It's called Optiflora, and you take one or two, depending on the state of your immune system, daily. We want to make sure that you take that because that keeps that defense on the very base level growing and growing and growing. So especially from parasitic infections and yeast overgrowth and funguses and things like this, it can be very helpful. But generally, it's great for the baseline of boosting the immune system. Lastly, I want to talk about what we call phytonutrients. Now, everybody knows you're supposed to eat vegetables, and you eat vegetables now, you know, because you want the balance of alkalinity in your body because you don't want too much acidity going on. But also, vegetables provide what they call nutrients, and these nutrients come from plants. So phytonutrients, meaning plant-source nutrients. So food-wise, anything that is orange or red or yellow or deep in green are where most of your phytonutrients will be. I'm sure you've all heard of carotenoids. You've heard that carrots have things in that. Now, that's where most beta-carotenes are derived from. And beta-carotene, I mentioned before, is a powerful antioxidant. But also, you get carotenoids in apricots, sweet potatoes. Anything that is red in nature will also contain a carotenoid, contain flavonoids. And flavonoids like lycopene are found in things that are red, like tomatoes or watermelon or guava. You also get great benefit of carotenoids from yellow foods and orange foods like papaya, tangerines and oranges and things like that. So when we choose our vegetables and our fruits, we're going to get a lot of benefit from that. Now, green things like spinach and broccoli and collard greens and mustard greens like that, things like that, have a great deal of lutein in it. And this is a particular type of phytonutrient that is extremely helpful for the eyes. But, of course, spinach and broccoli and they have a lot of other things in it as well. So we really want to make sure that our choices of vegetables aren't going to be like iceberg lettuce. Okay, that's white. You don't want white. You know, white potatoes are not so great for you. You want to stick with these colored foods because of the benefits, the natural benefits in there. So the carotenoids, the lycopenes, the flavonoids. Now, we do have nutrients that we can actually supplement with these phytonutrients. Shaklee makes a carotenoid called Carotamax, and it is available in a capsule form, which can boost up these particular materials that I've just talked about. So you can take that in a supplemental form. They also make a product called Flavomax, which I like very much because it contains some very key ingredients, not only for helping increase T cells, but it's really good for diabetics. It's excellent for asthmatics and people that have allergies. It is something that contains, their product, Flavomax, contains a combination of different blueberries and elderberries and grape seeds and green tea, a number of different really well-tested flavonoids. So taking that, again, in a supplemental form is a great, another great way to get more phytonutrients, all great for the immune system. There's another immune booster that we call, that come from plants, and they're called plant sterols. And these are phytosterols, meaning plants coming from a plant source. And seeds and nuts contain a lot of these, and they're great immune boosters. Now, for years, sterols have been used for reducing cholesterol. And in fact, Shaklee has just come out with a cholesterol reduction complex that contains sterols and stanols, both. And it is not only going to help reduce cholesterol, but it is very important as an immune booster. It's also great for men that have prostate difficulties, especially chronic inflammation of the prostate. So you get a lot of good phytosterols if you eat seeds and nuts, especially sunflowers and sesame seeds. So sunflower seeds and sesame seeds, great supplement to your diet to get more of these very protective immune boosters. And lastly, with vegetables, the group of vegetables, the broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, these all contain indoles, and these are very much cancer-preventing materials, and they make supplements out of these. It's called 13C. I don't know that it's really necessary to take a supplement like that. I think eating a lot of those vegetables, though, could be greatly beneficial. If you have most of these products I mentioned, you can get from Shaklee's line of natural products. Glutathione, if you're interested in getting any of that, contact my office. I can give you some more information about a product. You must use only what is called reduced glutathione. If you see something called L-glutathione, it will not work. Glutathione is a very tricky product. So if you need some specific guidelines on that, call the office, 615-904-6000, 615-904-6000, and talk with Mike, and he'll give you some advice on the glutathione. I really hope that you gain some information here that will be of value to you. I know that I threw a lot out at you. You are welcome to listen to this call many, many times over again. Next week, I will have a continuation of this series. I will be talking about some specific things that people that have cancer can do, people that have had cancer, some programs that would be very valuable to help prevent the cancer from coming back, what to do about detoxifying chemo and radiation. I'm also going to talk about some options other than surgery, chemo, and radiation, because I think it's important to know that you have options. I'll really try to overview everything as well. So I hope you found this to be of value to you tonight and or whenever you're listening to this. And I thank you so much. Contact my office if you have any questions or if you're interested in the electromagnetic testing. You can also contact any of my team members around North America that are working with me. They can also hook you up getting on with a test. Remember, if you listen to my three calls, you can get $100 off of the electromagnetic test. So instead of being $365, it will only be $265, but that will only be until the end of September that I can offer that, and then it'll have to go up. In fact, it's going up beyond the $365. So thank you all, and have a great night, and look forward to having you on the call next time.